It's time for the Mount Vernon Wildcats Coaches Show on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. This Coaches Show is brought to you exclusively by United Fidelity Bank. And now, here's your host, Alan Buck.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Mount Vernon Football Coaches Show on 106.7 WMVI. I'm Alan Buck, here with Coach Brad Higginson. We got a lot to talk about this week. The score of the Gibson Southern game, 59-19, but there was a lot more to it than the final score. They did, at halftime, was 38-19. They pitched a shutout in the second half, 21-0, but in the 89 degrees at kickoff, 85 by the end of the game, and we have, Mount Vernon has an awful lot of players going both ways. They just kind of got worn out. And we saw a very, very talented Gibson Southern team. First thing, what's our general health? I saw we had a couple players, but.
Yeah, pretty banged up. I mean, you go in and play against a team of that caliber. They have guys that play just offense, just defense. They can go over and rest. Our guys don't have that luxury. Makes it tough on the longevity of the game. And you know, as you get worn down, you know, you're going to get banged up.
That's when you're more susceptible to injury, when you get worn down. Sure. And you know, the other thing, and I think you touched on it last week, basically their practices are twice as long as yours because they're twice as productive, I should say. They've got a full defense practice and a full offense practice, and they don't have to mix and go back and forth. Mount Vernon, you might have and I don't know how you do it, maybe one day of offense, one day of defense, or split the practice in half and do it that way. But you got so many players going both ways, you just simply can't take advantage of the time the way that they can with their numbers.
Yeah, I mean, when your wide receivers don't have to play in the secondary, your offensive line don't have to play on the defensive line, they can spend more time one-on-one with their position coach and have – a little deeper playbook. They ran a lot of plays. They run fast. I mean, you're watching the film, and our film basically films the game in the entirety, and then you go in and you cut up and you take out all the dead time. Mm-hmm. It's about 14 seconds in between plays.
Yeah,
you know, and it's a grind, and it's hard to replicate that in a practice setting.
I mean,
we spent the last 5 minutes of practice, on Wednesday and a little bit on Thursday, of just running the same play at our defense over and over and over and over, but just telling our offense that it's giving them a look. Hey, snap the ball, go, get on the ball, snap it, go, get on the ball, snap it, go. Mm-hmm. It's you just can't replicate it. We've done it a couple different ways at different spots, and it's just one of those feeling things. Like, you know, if we had the bodies, we could run three huddles and it still wouldn't matter. You know, it's just something that they're used to. That's their offense. They're conditioned to it. If we try to do that against their defense already knows what it feels like because right. Their offense is doing it every day. Mm-hmm. So it gives them that advantage to do things like that, and that's why they're, you know, one of the top teams in the state.
Yeah. You all did something very good in the first half to slow that down a little bit. They had scored a touchdown. They lined up for the kickoff, and there's how much time – is allowed between the after the touchdown and when they set the ball to get on the field. There's a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
You guys weren't even on the field. You took full advantage of that, and that slowed them down some.
Yeah.
And that also irritated their fan base, I can tell you. We're right behind them.
Before the game, you know, obviously with the heat game and things like that,
yes,
we have the ability to use official timeouts for water and things like that.
Okay.
So I think it was after their second touchdown, or maybe even after our first touchdown. At one point, I don't remember if we were on kickoff or kickoff return. Doesn't matter. I just went to the official and I said, "Hey, can we get a water timeout?" And he goes, "Yep." And so
perfect.
Try to sneak an extra timeout in there and give our guys a chance to just take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get their breathing back. And you know, when you got guys, you know, we got about 20 to 25 guys that play both sides of the ball, and special teams, and everything else in between, mm-hmm. you're going to get ran down. So trying to utilize those moments or times to our advantage.
Yeah, and really with the heat and all, I would say, you know, an official's never going to tell you no unless you're doing it every play.
Right.
But, yeah, that was definitely a good thing to do for the sake of the kids,
yeah.
Both from what you said, catching a breath. Well,
you go back to the Forest Park game, and those guys are laying down on the ground and cramping.
Yeah.
Are they really cramping, or are they just trying to slow the game down so they can get a couple seconds? We're doing that, but we're not trying to take advantage of it. We're trying to use the tools that we have legally to
yeah. –
to, you know, give our guys an opportunity and, you know, put it to our advantage a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, very good point. You've been around the block a time or two, haven't you?
You've learned a few
of those tricks.
Been around football since I've been four, so, you know, that's a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Were you able to exchange any good information with Coach Hart either before or after the game?
So they got three or four guys on staff that I know really well. So Coach Hart and I go way back, we talked about last week, and you know, he was just talking about his problems and his woes, and we were talking about ours. And
did you play a violin for him? I mean,
no,
problems and woes that he has, for crying out loud.
Yeah, so everybody's got problems. They're just on different levels.
Yeah.
You know, and then Coach Kevin Jingleball is a good friend of mine. He actually coached me. He's the nephew of Joe Jingleball, and he's one of their defensive coaches. So we got to chat a little bit. I'll probably call him on Monday at some point and pick his ear about some things that we can do better and things that, you know, we did well. So,
yeah. You know, one of the things that I thought we played some really good in certain areas. It was just difficult to sustain over the long haul. Like we would have a drive that maybe we've got some really good plays going, and then it would bog down. And nothing that we do wrong or anything,
right.
Just you're facing a really, really difficult team. But I thought St. Henderson had his best running game. He was running hard, running very well. And when he gets just a little bit of a crease, that speed shows up in a hurry. He's got really quick feet.
Yeah, he was our leading rusher with over 60 yards of on 11 carries. You know, he did a really good job, and you know, we blocked well up front for the most part. You know, we're seeing, you know, a really good defense.
They're
battle tested, and they've played some teams that have been really good. They played a 5A team week one. They played a team out of Missouri that's going to buy for a state championship over there in that league, and you know, private school over there, so they're battle tested too. You know, so
yeah, depending on the poll that you look at, Gibson says is in the top five in all of them.
Right.
Sometimes as high as 3-2, but that's with a 1-1 record.
Yeah.
So that should tell people that's how well respected they are and what their caliber is, and when your offensive line blocks really well, they can do that for one or two plays in a row, but maybe not three or four to sustain that drive.
Yeah.
And that's the hard thing. Another area that I thought, I've always said, you know, there's a difference between football speed and track speed.
Yeah.
And it showed last night. Years ago, my son was playing up at Wright's. Their backfield, the four guys in the backfield were the 4x100 relay team. And it showed on the field at all times. Well, last night
we got
one of those, and buddy, he's impressive. I had Ryan Lilliston for 9 catches, 212 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, we had him at 9 for 190, with 64 being the long, and that was the first touchdown.
That was the very first one, yeah.
And you know, get him in space and get him in a 1-on-1 situation. He makes the first guy miss. Nobody's going to catch him.
Exactly.
You know, it's just. We got to block better on the perimeter day in and day out. But, you know, there's ways we design things. They run a defense that's very similar to what I've ran in the past. That we've been in a lot of the similar places, so we have a lot of the same cues, and we're running similar styles of defense. So I know what gives us problems, and I know what gives them problems. And so we were able to work on some things that took advantage of leverage and motions and – you know, we were able to finally, you know, bust the big play.
I saw that a lot of, I don't want to say, I mean, looked, there were a lot of different things offensively last night than what you'd done previously. Like, I guess it was in an effort to get the ball to a Lilliston in space and different things. And there were some really interesting looks that against a lesser team, they're going to be fabulous.
Yeah.
Against Gibson Southern, they were maybe hit and miss.
Yeah.
And there was one play, you ran Lilliston in motion from right to left. Johnny Crowell rolled out to the left, and after Lilliston got over there, he cut up field, and then Johnny tried to dump it off to him, but there was a crowd over there.
Yeah.
That I thought if our other wideouts on that side ran deeper routes, maybe it pulls guys away, but the design of the play was really interesting and looked really good. And
well, that was the same play that he scored the first touchdown
was
on.
That, okay.
The whole design is to get them the ball in space and to get guys in front to block.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it was opposite side of the field, so I couldn't tell it was the same play. It looks totally different.
Just basically trying to get guys, you know, the ball in space with guys in front of them too, right? And then you get an extra block here or there. It's basically a screen without having to run a screen.
Right.
So
kind of a bubble screen, what have you. I thought the most entertaining touchdown was the last play before the half when, you know, the scoreboard clock shows zero. That's just a suggestion. The clock is in the officials' hands on the field.
Yeah.
Again, the Gibson Southern fans were not happy. But they've got three guys on the 5-yard line. We're on the 32, and they're just playing outfield.
Yeah.
And Lilliston didn't even really run a route. He just kind of turned around and caught the ball.
It was a screen again.
And then but then he just outran everybody, and he went diagonally across the field. And you could just see it. Like I said, track speed. My Lord. And he just outran the pursuit angles and curled it to the flag, to the pylon. And
we just sent two guys deep and just told him to turn around and catch the ball.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, it's got to make one guy miss. Let's go.
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
Yeah. And that was particularly fun, like I said, with the Gibson Southern crowd upset about the zero time on the clock.
We said we got time. Let's run it on first down.
Mm-hmm.
Get on the ball, throw it, and then next thing you know, we're in scoring position. So that was a good thing. You know, 2-minute drill came out. We catch the ball deep downfield with Ryan with about 3 seconds left, and I'm screaming down the sideline trying to get a timeout. And, you know, watching the clock, and the officials got it right, and that's the most important part.
Yeah, they sure did, and it was just really a fun first half, you know. Second half, things got a little out of hand, but if we play like that, I mean, I was very encouraged after last night's game effort. I just hope the players, some of them, if they're just dinged up, I hope they're better by late in the week. Tell you what, this is probably a good time. We'll take a break and we'll come back in the second segment and we'll move forward a little bit. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com.
You've got places to go, and Better Banking can help you and your money go further. Are you ready to take your money to new heights? Get a flexible high-yield checking account that lets you customize your interest rate so you can keep your finances headed in the right direction. With Elevate Checking from United Fidelity Bank, you're in control of how much you earn. You can raise your rate with a few easy steps, like using your mobile banking app or getting your paychecks by direct deposit. Get more ways to earn more with Elevate Checking and start earning 4.00% APY. Learn more at unitedfidelity.com/elevate or visit your local banking center. Must meet certain criteria to qualify. Rates may change at any time without notice after the account is opened. APY is accurate as of August 1st, 2024. $25 minimum deposit required to open. Fees or other conditions could reduce earnings on the account. Member FDIC.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mount Vernon High School Football Coaches Show. I'm Alan Buck. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI, MountVernonRadio.com. Coach Brad Higginson is taking his time to sit here and talk with us about the team and the game at Gibson Southern, and now we're going to talk about what the future players that are going to be out here on the field for Mount Vernon, and that is the youth programs. Because the pipeline, that's the one thing we just finished talking about. If people were listening, Gibson Southern's pipeline is so full; they've got so many players, and that's what we're trying to do down here is build it up. And it has been built up over the last few years to a good point, and you're going to make it better. What's the status of our youth programs right now? I've seen some impressive wins over other programs recently.
For sure. We have over 200 players in our total program from third grade on to high school. Each program, you know, third and fourth, fifth and sixth, seventh and eighth, high school, all have about 50 to 55 guys, which is good. So when you start to add it up, it's like, hey, we got two classes here that got 50. We got two classes here that got 50. We got two classes here that got 50. You know, right now at the high school, we got four classes. We got about 50 guys. So they're doing a good job. We did a coaching clinic at the beginning of the summer. Just brought all of the Mount Vernon football coaches from third grade to high school together. And we did our own, like, coaching clinic of this is what the new standard's going to be, expectation. This is what, you know, I want to see. This is what we're going to do on offense. This is what we're going to do on defense. Mm-hmm. Let's model that within the rules of what you guys can do. Because when you get to third and fourth and fifth and sixth, they can only run certain defenses. They can only run certain formations on offense, you know. So making sure that those formations are the same ones we're calling at varsity games. So as time progresses and when this seventh and eighth grade team comes up to be in high school, we're not having to teach formations. Now we're teaching football as far as situations and, you know, getting more invested in a game plan. And now we can, you know, kind of mix and match what we're doing and build on what we got, you know, and that's important. Our youth coaches, you know, Coach Brenner does an awesome job of getting those guys ready. They had a great game over there at Wright's a few weeks back and got a good win. And Coach Jimmy Goodrich is meeting with us, and he's up there on Friday nights, and he's doing a lot of the defensive stuff. But, you know, they're just replicating what we're doing and just honing in and asking a lot of good questions. Our fifth and sixth grade, Coach Boyer, who's a former player, and Justin Buchanan, Coach Buck, he's a former player, you know, and they're running those programs. And then third and fourth is Eric Bouchard. He's kind of heading up that program, and those guys are doing a great job. They're asking a lot of good questions, a lot of familiar faces, which is good, and the numbers are there, and you know, it's awesome to get out there on a Saturday and watch those guys compete and watch them little guys run around and hit and catch, run, tackle, all those good things.
Yeah, one of the things that I talked about last night and actually we just met a living example of it this morning here in your office in Rhett Snodgrass, talking about the quarterbacking position. It's kind of like fishing. If you grow up with it, you know how to do it.
Right.
If you read the book, you don't know how to fish. You don't know how to be a quarterback. Well, in the Snodgrass family, they grew up with it, and you could just see they made quick decisions. They could do. They just knew what to do, what to expect, didn't panic a whole lot. So kids starting out in the third and fourth grade, they're going to understand the game and know the game, not just, oh, coach told me to go stand over here.
Yeah.
That's a whole different.
They know how to get in a huddle, call a play. They know what to look for. You know, the terminology as they develop is going to be the same. So that's the positive part. So they can learn, you know, we want to run this play to this front, and we want to run this play to this front. Mm-hmm. So it allows their thought process to speed up.
Yeah, it's I've seen games, back before your time, Steelers and the Cowboys, when they played in the Super Bowl and all, Cowboys had this very complex scheme, and they were thinking about the game and figuring out how to play the game. Steelers were flying all over the field playing.
Yeah.
Difference between having to think it through and just acting and reacting and all is huge. And so getting the kids thinking it at that early age, it's going to become second nature. By the time they get to high school, they're going to be ready to just go out and play.
Right.
And anything you throw at them isn't going to be brand new. It's going to be, you know, something they've already run.
And it's my understanding, so Coach Buchanan, Coach Buck, and Coach Brenner, who are both alums here at Mount Vernon, kind of got this thing off the ground with the third through sixth grade, you know, about 5 or 6 years ago. And we're starting to see some of that, you know, in the seventh and eighth and on up into the high school, that the football IQ is growing. You know, you can go out and have a conversation with a seventh grader about what they're seeing, and they can tell you, you know, in layman's terms, what's going on. You know, but that's a big part of it. I mean, I've been been around guys that played football since they were 3 years old, and I've been around guys that didn't start until, you know, they were juniors or seniors in high school.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference.
Oh,
big
yeah.
difference.
So. Huge difference. I've always said I'd rather coach, you know, I don't like to coach empty helmets. And you got teaching them at a young age, they're going to be ready to go, and that's huge. And you've got the numbers up. That's another thing. As players get older, they're going to matriculate to other things. There are so many different things that are available to them nowadays. You know, back in the old days, you had football, basketball, baseball. That was it. Nowadays, there's so many other things. So you will lose players as they move forward. But starting off with as many as you've got is right. a fantastic base to begin with.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was last week I went out there and just kind of checked in on 5th and 6th grade. And Coach Boyer comes over and he goes, hey, our linebacker coach isn't here tonight for whatever reason. And, hey, can you come over and run this drill real fast? Heck, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
So we talked about block destruction and shed and scrape and, you know, all the things that we're teaching the high school kids. We just – scale it down a little bit, close the gap a little bit more, and, you know, just allow them to learn a little bit of football from a different voice, which is always also a good thing.
Well,
you hear the same thing from multiple people, you start to believe it a lot faster.
Absolutely. That's right. And the other thing is, you're the main voice. And so with these little kids, that has to be huge that you participated in their practice. That's just a huge plus, and it's hard for you to see from where you sit. But I used to be one of those little kids, and when there you got attention from the head guy at the high school, that was huge. So yeah, keep your involvement. You keep your hands in like you are. This is terrific for the future of the program.
Yeah. And I think we took a big step forward on Friday night. You know, just overall, I was very, very pleased with the first half. We just got to be better shape, and you know, we like I told my dad. They got a few more workhorses over there that we got. We got some good ones.
Yeah.
But they got a little bit more in the stable. That's okay. We'll get there.
Yeah, you sure will. And I tell you, I have not seen a high school quarterback throw the football more relaxed. It looked like if you and I were just sitting in rocking chairs tossing the ball back and forth.
Yeah.
But as Chris pointed out, he had all the time in the world. Their line does a terrific job.
Yeah.
So he had...
A lot of theirs are timing, rhythm throws, so he gets set, and he knows when the ball is supposed to come out and all that. He's going to be a heck of a player at the next level. And told him that after the game. I went over and I said, hey, man, coached 18 years in college. You got a bright future. Make sure you take care of your body, though.
Yeah. Yeah, we had an awful lot of near interceptions, but the timing, like you just pointed out, the timing was there, and our guys just didn't quite get there.
Yeah.
But that's because they've got a precision program they were running against.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good,
I mean,
good for them.
There was one play I was back watching on the film, and I'm like, our dude is in the perfect spot,
yep.
and that ball still found a way in there. And it's like, nothing you can do about that.
Right.
It's good defense, great offense.
Exactly.
It is what it is.
And some, you know, one side's going to win the play, and that happens. We're going to take another break, and then we'll get back, and we'll talk about what's the upcoming week is going to bring. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com.
You've got places to go, and Better Banking can help you and your money go further. Are you ready to take your money to new heights? Get a flexible high-yield checking account that lets you customize your interest rate so you can keep your finances headed in the right direction. With Elevate Checking from United Fidelity Bank, you're in control of how much you earn. You can raise your rate with a few easy steps, like using your mobile banking app or getting your paychecks by direct deposit. Get more ways to earn more with Elevate Checking and start earning 4.00% APY. Learn more at unitedfidelity.com/elevate or visit your local banking center. Must meet certain criteria to qualify. Rates may change at any time without notice after the account is opened. APY is accurate as of August 1st, 2024. $25 minimum deposit required to open. Fees or other conditions could reduce earnings on the account. Member FDIC.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mount Vernon High School Football Show on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. I'm Alan Buck, sitting here with Coach Brad Higginson, and we've got a trip to South Spencer in Rio coming up this Friday. I guess we'll start with this weekend. It's a holiday weekend. What's your practice going to look like? You're going to practice Monday or
Right. Yeah, plan is to get everybody here. Hopefully we can have our JV game and give us an opportunity to get some more reps and get some looks, you know, for our younger guys, developmental guys. So we'll be here on Monday. There's a soccer game going on Saturday, and our guys come in and get a chance to talk to the trainers when there's a home soccer game. So that's a good thing. And once we kind of get an idea of who we got and who's available and all those things from Friday night, then we'll kind of set the rest of the schedule for the week. But there'll be a practice on Monday and then normal Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay. Who are the trainers? They are so important to the program, and I never think to ask about them, never even mention them.
Yeah, so we have a new set this year through RPI, and I'm going to draw a blank right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We don't rehearse this stuff, folks.
No, it's good. But no, they're doing an awesome job. You know, it's the biggest thing for us is getting guys healthy, and a lot of times, sadly to say, a lot of people say, don't go see the trainer. They're going to hold you out, or you say this or you say that, and they're not going to let you on the field. And coming from a college programs where you have access to them a lot more,
mm-hmm.
you get a chance to go in there. You're with them 24/7. You spend just as much time in the weight room as you do on the field. You spend just as much time in the training room as you do in the weight room, right? Because mm-hmm. your body healing and recovering, they're the experts at how that works and what that looks like, and that's their job.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I heard Ray Lewis talk one time. He goes, I spend just as much time in the cold tub and stretching and doing all that I do watching film, and I watch a lot of film. So
yeah.
You got to prepare your body and your mind for all those things. So
was it Abe Lincoln said you sharpen your axe for 10 hours for 1 hour of chopping wood?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, you got to be prepared. But no, her name's Haley Brooks. I drew a blank on that, but she's doing a great job. And I believe they just moved here. Her and her husband. Her husband's an alum of Mount Vernon. And, they got here about mid June ish,
mm-hmm.
and jumped right in. I know Kathy Merrick had been doing it for a long time, which is the wife of our offensive line coach. And so RPI here in town, they base out of there, and then they come in after school and work with our athletes, and they do a great job, and I'm very impressed with their organization and their communication and making sure that we know what's going on and mm-hmm. all those things.
You know, you're talking about people not wanting you to talk to a trainer because they'll keep you off the field. When I was coaching in middle school, I would tell a player, I don't want you limping all season. You take another week. I don't care about this week's game. I care about the 3 or 4 after that. And that was, and they would get upset. I said, I don't want you missing multiple games. I'll take this game. Let's just go sit down.
Yeah.
And
we actually did that this week. We had one or two guys that could have strapped it up, and we said, no, man, this game, you know, we got to get you ready for the playoffs and everything else. And this game, you know, I know you're itching to get back, but it's not worth it.
Absolutely. Get them 100% for 5 games, not 75% for 6.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, we're going to South Spencer. It's a short bus, right? It's about the same distance as going up to Gibson Southern.
Just got to go to the east side.
Yeah, got to go. Well, of course, with the road construction, I don't know if you can get there from here.
Yeah.
They got beat last night by Tecumseh, pretty good score. I don't know where that game was played, though.
Yeah.
But from what I've seen, Tecumseh's not a bad team for a 1A school.
Yeah, they turned it around pretty quick.
Yeah, they're getting. What do you know about South Spencer?
I haven't really had a chance to watch much film. Obviously, you know, we're talking on Saturday morning here a little bit. But at the end of the day.
It's early in the season. I understand all that.
Again, focus on us. You know, we got a lot better from, you know, week 1 to week 2 in certain areas. We got a lot better from week 2 to week 3. We mm-hmm. just got to continue to improve and push forward and focus on the things. I mean, once we get the film up and rolling, we'll game plan them. We'll put our guys in good situations. You know, the most important part is taking advantage of what they give you and putting our guys in the right position to make plays.
Was it my imagination, or did you expand the playbook offensively from week 1 to week 3. I mean, it looks to me like, because there were different ways of getting the ball in the hands of, getting it in Lilliston's hands in wide open spaces. You know, getting some of the, the blocking schemes looked a little different. I don't know if they were different, but our running plays looked a little differently designed, and I was real impressed. So, like you said, focus on what we can do, and they're going to get better and better at those same things that you're adding.
Yeah, we did it both on offense and defense. Okay. You know, we ran a four-man front a little bit more. We kind of had to with some injuries, but you know, it doesn't change our terminology, and that's important. Our players are still talking the same language, whether we're in a three down or a four down. Mm-hmm. Offensively, we threw in a couple sprinkles here or there that made look different, new formation, new motion, still getting to the same similar plays, but taking advantage of what, you know, the other team's given us. We've seen a version of a 30 stack. We've seen a version of a four down. You know, they're 4-2 quarters. Like, that's what they are, you know, at Gibson Southern. So you're really scheming the offense to beat the defense, right? That's that's the name of football.
Right.
So seeing different defenses allows us to do different things on offense, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a spread, high tempo, fast offense. You know, we got to keep them in front, and we got to tackle. And that's what, you know, four down, cover two, cover four, call it what you want.
Yeah.
That's what that does. It's bend but don't break mentality, and we got to do a better job of executing. We got to get off the field on third down. We got to tackle better in some phases, you know, and things like that. But, you know, when you're sitting in a one high, you got a lot more holes on the backside. And when you're sitting in a two high, you get a little bit more holes on the run game. So kind of pick your poison.
Exactly. And in the case of last night's game, Gibson Southern, they had a number of different weapons. And it was kind of interesting. It looked like it kind of reminded me of when Peyton Manning played for the Colts. They would feature a certain player numerous plays in a row. Like, it was part of the time it was Peyton Johnson last night. And he's going to play on Saturdays next year.
Yeah.
I don't know where, but that kid's good. Then they went to Elijah, I think is his first name, Ortiz. Yeah, Elijah Ortiz. And he didn't do anything in the first half. I didn't even know he was on the team. And then all of a sudden he catches two touchdowns and a two-point conversion, and he was their go-to guy for that short stint. Maybe just to get him involved in the game, or so. I don't know what it was, but I just named 2 6-foot-4-inch receivers,
right?
And Roshlow was able to put the passes on their helmets and above. That makes it very difficult for a 5'9" defender to get up to. So we were playing good, right positions, things like that. Just maybe got beat by a little bit bigger, stronger athlete.
And we moved some guys around on defense. You know, we got a few guys back that were out for numerous reasons, and we were able to get a little bit more guys in their natural positions. We had some guys playing a little out of position because of need. But at the end of the day, you know, we're still learning how to play this defense. You know, we're still learning, you know, kind of what we can do on offense with the guys that we have. We're not the same team we were last year, right?
Right.
Like, they had some speed on the outside. They had a quarterback that could throw the ball deep. Johnny's kind of learning what that looks like and what that feels like. You know, so we're opening up the playbook week by week as we build confidence. And, you know, obviously we build on that first half and continue to move and, you know, get as healthy as we can get. And, you know, we got a bright future. We just got to keep plugging away. Go back to, hey, it's 0-0. We got to go.
Yeah. One of the things I do want to point out, one play, it might seem insignificant or anything, but it's fundamentals on a it was a kicked kickoff that Devin Gomez came up with the ball and immediately hit the ground. You don't – I guess it was they kicked off, and it was in those kind of dead spots.
Yeah.
Well, you don't grab it and try to run.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, you catch it and you get in the fetal position and you got the ball.
Protect the football.
And he did it in just that fast. And I had to look to see who his number was and see who the heck he was.
Yeah.
And
it's not bad for a one-armed man. He's the one with the club on his hand, too. So
I didn't notice that. But he's a freshman.
Yeah.
And I thought there was no thinking, no hesitation. It was total reaction. This is what I do. And boom.
Yeah.
And that's perfect. So the lessons that you all are teaching. they're good. I mean, that's going down. Like I said, that's a freshman that I didn't see him play a whole lot. Or I didn't see his number a lot.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he makes the right play at the right time.
Yeah.
So we've got, I don't know if, is the heat going to break, or is still going to be another hot week for the team that you're going to have to, because you got a lot of stuff to manage, and that's a big pain in the neck.
Yeah. I mean, we practiced in the evenings. We waited till almost the sun go down to start the game, you know, all those things come into play. But basically, I think the heat is going to hold off Monday, Tuesday, and then ramp back up, you know, and things like that. But
so game Saturday, game Friday.
Yeah,
it's still 7 o'clock right now. It's scheduled at 7, but folks, you know, pay attention as the week goes on. This I thought they did a really smart thing. The ADs got together and called the game on Tuesday. They backed it up an hour. Doing it Tuesday was great for the whole week, and then also doing it an hour instead of just 30 minutes and running a problem. So we'll see what happens this week. But
It takes a village to make decisions. And
absolutely.
We got some good ones that know what's going on and been doing it a long time.
I guess is Sean Keister, the AD down at South Spencer, and Lee here. They'll get together, I'm sure, and figure out what to do. But for that, I mean, I'm excited about the rest of the season.
Yeah.
They showed so much last night, and if people don't understand, they think, well, 59-19, that's not – wow. What we showed last night in the first half in particular, that's got to have a lot of – they knew they were in a football game that first half. Normally for them, it's 42-7 at half on whoever they're playing.
Yeah.
And
– I mean, we come out of the first quarter, it was, what, 10-6, you know, and things like that. And they had two pretty long drives, and we were able to hold them to – the field goal and things like that. We got a block punt. We got a block field goal. We did some really good things. We
really did.
We're moving in the right direction. And I told the guys after the game, I said, look, the scoreboard don't matter right now. Play by play, we'll basically learn who we are and what we do. And now we reset the expectation based upon the first quarter, first half. And, you know, that's the expectation moving forward. And, you know, we continue to play like that. I mean,
that's exactly
you
right.
You mentioned, you know, as high as third, as low as fifth, whatever. I mean, you're playing step for step with one of the best teams in the state.
That's exactly right.
We have the guys. We just got to maintain it for four quarters.
Yeah, there's one statistic I'd like to see you lower, and that would be the number of tackles that the kicker makes on kickoffs. he went in there. He didn't wait for the guy to get to him. He was up. He came charging down the field and made a good stick on the tackle. And I looked, oh, my God. I love York's game. He's good, got a good leg, and he's a sophomore.
He's a sophomore. He also plays soccer, so he's always moving around. And
we, a number of years ago, we had a kicker named Xavier Angel, and as a sophomore, York reminds me of him. As a sophomore, he was very good. By the time he was a senior, he was kicking lob wedges down inside the 5-yard line, and our opponents were starting their possessions inside the 20.
Yeah.
Because it gave time. You're a golfer, aren't you?
Occasionally.
Okay. You know what a lob wedge is.
Yeah.
And I mean, tell you, they couldn't sit there and let the ball bounce because it wasn't going into the end zone. It was going to sit where he kicked. And York has got that same kind of potential. And as the soccer player, he'll develop, and his legs are going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Yeah. So I like what he brings now, but the next couple of years are going to be fun when his leg gets even stronger, and just keep him out of making tackles.
But he's so excited to be out there to tackle. I mean, he's asking every day, what can I do better? You know, what can I do different? Where do you want the ball? You know, all those things. He's, you know, he's got his mindset on going playing college football as a kicker, and, you know, soccer is an avenue to do that. And he's doing all the right things. He's been to some camps in the summer, and
so he's a Pat McAfee kind. He wants to get in there and make some sticks.
Or
Kevin Butler, if you want to go back to the Bears, he was a former linebacker and did that. But anything I should have asked you about and didn't that you want to talk about before going into the South Spencer game?
I felt like we you know, grew as a team, and, you know, that's the most important part. We just got to get healthy and keep rolling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, God bless your trainers. Let's get, like you said, get healthy. Look forward to seeing all the kids out there next week. And like we said on the air last night, Mount Vernon is going to play until the final buzzer.
Yeah.
And they're going to give every effort they've got. And next week, South Spencer, folks, it's not that long a drive. haul it straight east for half an hour, and you're going to be there and support these kids. They deserve it for all the hard work they put in. And with that, I will turn it back to Dave. Say good night to all good sports. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com.
You've been listening to the Mount Vernon Wildcats Coaches Show on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. This Coaches Show has been brought to you exclusively by United Fidelity Bank. Keep up to date with your home of the Wildcats, 106.7 WMVI and PoseyCountyRadio.com.